Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I got a little thought here tonight that the Lord gave me as I've been studying over the past few weeks, and I want to give it to you tonight. We've got several new people, and I think that this is in order tonight. I think it's in order, number one, because it's what the Lord said do, amen. But I think it's in order also just to lay some fundamental things and help us to understand some fundamental things. So let's stand Matthew chapter number 16. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 13. And I want to look at one verse when we get there. The Bible said this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Boy, that's a good question right there. Who is Jesus to you tonight? Amen. He said, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, he got it right. Amen. That is who he is tonight. Goes on to say in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. What is the rock he's talking about? He's talking about himself, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And I want to talk to you about this subject for a little while tonight, the operation of the church, or our operation as a church. What is the church here for tonight? Amen. And it's just not a building. It's just not somewhere we come three times a week. But there is a purpose of the church. Amen. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that you'd help us as we preach tonight. Thank you, God, for the good singing thus far and the good spirit in the service. I pray, God, that everything we say and do as I preach tonight will bring glory and honor to your name. And I'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Our operation as a church tonight. What is the church here for tonight? I would say this to you. I think that we should know some things about the church. We should know the stand that the church takes. Amen. And I'll say more about this in just a minute, but all of that stand must come from the Word of God. It can't be our own opinion. Can I get a witness right there? It can't. You say, well, I believe this, or I believe that, or I hold this standard, or I hold that standard. All of that's fine and well, but when we hold a standard in the house of God, we should know the stand that we take, and that stand must come directly from the Word of God. It is our final authority tonight, amen? We should know the strength that it is to have. The church should be strong in the community. The church should be something that the community looks to and the community comes to. We should know something about the services that it offers. So the church tonight, whenever you study the church in the Word of God, you'll find church is mentioned 77 times. And right here in chapter 16, verse 18, is the first time that it is mentioned in the Word of God. Now, it's very important, and in Bible college, we would say it this way, it's the law all of first mention. In other words, when it's mentioned here for the first time, it's setting a precedence of what it's going to be the remainder of the time. And here's what he says as he mentions the church for the very first time. He said the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. In other words, what he is saying is this, the church will still go on. It don't matter how bad it gets. It don't matter how much persecution comes. It don't matter what people say about it. I promise you, the church will stand tonight. The church has been standing, and the church will continue to stand. Can I say it this way? The church will stand with you, and the church will stand without you. You say, well, the church will go under if I'm nowhere around. I'll tell you this tonight. I promise you, the church will keep going because it's God's church. Now, we must understand that the church is not the building. Amen. The church is not the building. This is just where we gather three times a week. You are the church tonight. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to preach on all this, but the Holy Spirit dwelt in the tabernacle. He dwelt in a building. But because of the veil of the temple being rent, now we know that the Holy Spirit indwells within us. We are the body of believers. We are the church tonight. And thank God for a good building we can come to, but if the building was to be gone Wednesday night, the body of believers would still be going strong. It's the church tonight. Can I just say this tonight? I'm for the church. Can I just say that again? I'm for the church. Amen. Can I tell you the way God set things up? He set it up through the local church. Amen. He set it up through the local church. I love what the missionary said in the video we just watched. He said we established a home, and then we yoked it up with a local church. I believe that everything ought to go through the local church. I believe that every ministry ought to go through the local church. Matter of fact, we've done a lot in recent days. And you know where every bit of it went through? It went through a local church. Whenever we was talking last night and talking about the offering this morning, and I talked to you about that, you know who I dealt with? I dealt with pastors of local churches. Amen. Because that's the way God set it up. Now, God set this up in the local church. He set up one head of the local church, and that's Him. Do you hear me right there? God is the head of the church. Now, if y'all will help me, we'll get done, go home, eat eggs. God is the head of the local church. He is the shepherd of the local church. But then God set it up to have an under-shepherd. You know who that is? That's the pastor tonight. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that the deacons run the church. Amen. Matter of fact, Wake Forest has got a good mascot because that's what a lot of deacons are. They're demons. But thank God we've got good deacons at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. But the deacons don't run the church. Somebody give me a witness right there. The financial committee and the trustees don't run the local church. God put the pastor in charge of the church. I remember one time, and you've heard me say this before, I'll get to the message and preach about an hour here in just a minute. I said this many times. I'm going to give the illustration again tonight because it's so applicable in our day. I remember one time we was in a deacon's meeting. And matter of fact, in that deacon's meeting, if I'm not mistaken, I just had one deacon in his brother Robert. And I told Brother Robert, I said, here's what I think we should do at the church. It's what God's put on my heart. Brother Robert, we talked back and forth just a minute. And then here's what he said. He said, preacher, you know what I'm going to do? He said, now, if it was doctrinal issues, it's a different story. Somebody give me a witness right there. If he's out of line doctrinally, here's what Brother Robert said. I'll never forget. Brother Robert looked at me and he said, preacher, you know what? You're going to stand before God for the way you lead this church. You're going to be the one that stands for Him for the direction this church goes. I'm going to stand before God for the way I support you as the pastor. I'm here to help you, and I stand with you in whatever decision you make. You know, it'd be a real good day. Be a real good day, and thank God we've got deacons like that here. But Sunday's a lot that thinks they're the grand puma of the church, and nothing can happen without them. That is not the way God set the church up. He set it up as Him the head, Him the shepherd, and the pastor the under-shepherd. Matter of fact, you know what the deacons are for in the church? They're to visit the sick. They're to take care of the widows. You study the Word of God out. That's what they're there for. They're there to be a servant to the pastor and an arm of the pastor. And I can say this, all three of our deacons at our church tonight fits the qualifications of a deacon, and they do everything according to the Bible. I can say that without reserve tonight. So what is the operation of the church? Well, let me give you three things and we'll go home. Number one, I see our foundation as a church. You know, you got to have a strong foundation. My dad one time decided he was going to be a brick mason. They had built a little house in Rhonda, North Carolina, before I was even born. And Daddy decided that he was going to go out there and at the driveway, he was going to lay them some little brick columns up. He went out there, Brother Doug, and he laid those little brick columns up, made them look all pretty. He went back in the house and told Mama what he had done. Just a few hours, he'd come out. Brother Adam, they had fell over. Let me tell you the reason they fell over. They didn't have foundation under them. Everything rises and falls on the foundation. Let me tell you the reason this building's still standing tonight, because it's got the right foundation. Let me tell you the reason the building beside us is still standing. It's got the right foundation. We've got to understand what is the foundation of the church tonight. What is the strong part of the church? Can I show it to you tonight? It's real simple. The Word of God. The foundation of the church is the Word of God. And I'm fixing to do another starting point class for new members to go through. And if you're interested in joining the church, it's a three-week class we do during Sunday school and I teach. But in that, we look at the bylaws of our church. And there is a few things in there, such as the cemetery, that there's no scripture underneath it because you just can't find none, okay? They took them out and buried them. But any doctrinal statement that's in our bylaws tonight, you know what's underneath every one of those doctrinal statements? The Word of God. Let me tell you the reason why. It is the foundation of what we do. If we don't have the Bible to back us up tonight, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I thought about this. The Word of God is our foundation. It's a supernatural book. Over 1,600 years, written by 40 different authors. And here's what the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, that the Word of God tonight is right, and it is a supernatural book. I thought about this. It's a spiritual book. Yeah, man. The Word of God is a spiritual book. It aims... Its aim is revealing to us Jesus. You know what the central theme of the Word of God is? If you go all the way back to the beginning, in the beginning, God, uniplurality, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that's the first mention of Jesus in the Word of God is Genesis 1:1. You go to Genesis 3, verse 15. We've got the first promise of a Redeemer to come. And you know what they do throughout the Word of God? They say a man named Jesus is coming. He's going to save his people from his sins. You know what? He comes. And you know what happens after that? They say this. A man named Jesus is coming back to rescue us out of a sin-cursed world. The main theme of the Word of God is Jesus tonight. The word, the foundation of the church tonight. It's the Word of God. It's a supernatural book. It's a spiritual book because it reveals Jesus. It reveals justification. You know what that means? That means just as if I had never sinned. Oh, yes. According to the law, we was condemned and headed to hell. Oh, but aren't you thankful for grace tonight? And because of grace, there is justification through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God reveals Jesus. It reveals justification. It reveals a joy. It reveals a judgment. It reveals what to expect on this journey. It's a spiritual book. The foundation is the Word of God. It's a supernatural book. It's a spiritual book. But can I say this? It's a sufficient book. It's a sufficient book. We don't need nothing else. If y'all to help me, we get done tonight. We don't need nothing else. We don't need to substitute it with anything else. The Word of God, the inspired, infallible Word of God, is all we need tonight. It is sufficient. It's sufficient for conviction. It's sufficient for conversion. It's sufficient for correction. It's sufficient for cleansing. It's sufficient for comfort. The Word of God is sufficient tonight. I don't know about you. I say thank God for my Bible tonight. The foundation as a church, what is the foundation? It's the Bible tonight. I say this again, you've got to have the Word of God. Hear what I'm fixing to say. Every standard that you have should be backed up with the Word of God. Are you with me? It should be backed up with the Word of God. You should be able to prove your stand when it comes to morals in this life by the Word of God. Why do we look the way that we do? Why do we cut our hair the way that we do? Why do we dress the way that we do? It's all backed up in the Word of God. So the foundation of a church is the Word of God. But now watch this, number two. I'm moving. Our function as a church. Our function as a church, our purpose of existing. What is our function as a church? Can I just say this to you tonight? We're not a social club. Can I just say that again? We're not a social club. God never set the church up to be a welfare program. We get calls every week. Every week we get calls. We put that new phone system in, so now some of them ends up going to Miss Stephanie because it says press 3 to talk to Miss Stephanie in finances. So everybody thinks she's got the money. And guess what? They get forwarded to extension 1,000. You know who that is? The preacher. Every week, you know what I try to do? I try to call them back. Here's my first question. Somebody calls our church asking for money. Here's my first question. Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? How long have you been going there? And have they helped you? Everybody okay? You say, well, preacher, you just said the church is not a welfare. It's not. But I'm going to tell you this. If there's a member of our church or somebody that even attends our church on a faithful basis and they have a need, you know what we're going to try to do? We're going to try to help them with that need. But the church is not set up to pay everybody in the community's power bill because it won't go to work. I understand some can't go to work, but some just won't go to work. And God never set the church up to take care of them. That's not the primary purpose of the existence of the church. You say, well, what is it? Well, can I say, show you three things? Number one, it's to introduce the world to Jesus. That's why the church exists tonight. It's to introduce people to Jesus. I think a lot of people, and I made mention of this morning, but I think a lot of people's lost sight of that. Why do we do what we do at Amazing Grace? It's to get people to Jesus. Say, preacher, how in the world are you going to get people to Jesus? What a baby parade. Well, here's the reason why. They may have some family members that won't come for anything else. Are you with me? They won't come for anything else. But you let little Johnny get put in a float and pulled down the aisle. You know what they'll do? They'll come to the house of God. And you know what the preacher's going to do? He's going to stand up and preach on Jesus. That's the whole purpose of our church. That's the function of our church. It's to tell people about Jesus tonight. The whole purpose of our youth group is not to go on an activity. It's to get them to Jesus. The whole purpose of our young adults is not some activity. It's Jesus tonight. The purpose of our young at heart is not just going to Pennsylvania, but it's letting them know who Jesus is and what Jesus can do for them. He said this, if I, Jesus, be lifted up, I'll draw all men. It's Jesus tonight. It's Jesus tonight. It's to introduce people to Jesus. Can I say this? What's the function of the church? It's to introduce you to Jesus. It's to involve you in worship. I'm trying to think who it was that said it. And I don't remember who it was. The man said it here preaching the other night, but I don't remember. Somebody said this. They said that raising your hand just a little bit is not really worship. They said whenever you raise your hand and you feel like, man, I need to take that back down, wait 10 more seconds. Because at that moment, you've embarrassed the flesh. And you're saying, you know what? I will worship you. I thought about what the Bible said, Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I thought about that passage in John chapter number 4. What a great passage on worship. And I've preached on worship out of that numerous times. And here's what he said. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let me tell you the function of the church. Yes, it's to introduce people to Jesus, but it's to involve you in the worship of the Lord. We have allowed Brother Austin, the charismatic movement to scare us away from praise and worship. I said it. Praise and worship. But let me tell you something. Before there's ever a charismatic movement, are you with me? And before there's ever a Baptist movement, are you hearing me? You hear me tell you what they was? There's 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost that fell at the feet of Jesus and began to worship Him and praise Him for who He was. We're way behind on worshiping Him the way that we should. You say, well, preacher, I just don't worship like you. Well, how do you worship? Well, hello, Tokyo. How do you worship? How do you worship? Father seeketh such worship. He goes on to say, we worship in spirit and in truth. How do you worship tonight? Well, what is the function of the church? It's to introduce you to Jesus. It's to involve you in worship. But it's to instruct you, watch this, from God's Word. Every preacher that preaches, every teacher that teaches, everything that they say should be from the Word of God. Understand, we give practical applications. But those practical applications must be backed up by the Word of God. I taught Bible college for 2 years. And there was one thing that I said over and over and over and over again. Whatever you teach, whatever you preach, whatever you sing, it has to be from the Word of God. We are to instruct people from the Word of God. I'm not interested in your opinion. I'm not interested in what you think about something. I'm interested in what my Bible says about it. I'm preaching good tonight. I'm interested in the Word of God. His Word teaches us to preserve unity with one another. Everybody okay right there, ain't you? Here's what he said in Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. I'm going to hit this and move. But I believe every service, somebody sits on a seat lost. I believe in every service, there's somebody here lost. And when you come in out of unity with somebody else in the church, you hinder the work of God in the service. And if that individual dies lost and goes to hell, their blood will be on your hands. I'm telling you, unity is right. It's so important. And it instructs us from God's Word. His Word teaches us to preserve unity with one another. His Word teaches us to promote missions both home and abroad. We just talked about that and we just looked at that. Well, there's our foundation as a church. It's the Word of God. There is our function as the church. But then I'll show you this number three and we'll go home. I see our fight as a church. Our fight as a church. You say, preacher, you're talking about fighting. I'm not talking about a physical fight. However, I believe there's some things worth fighting for. You study that wall in Nehemiah that I preached on Wednesday night. You know what you'll find? You'll find men had a trowel in one hand. They had a sword in another hand. If anybody come up messing with them in the work of God, they protected their family. Amen? There is our fight as a Christian. Here's what the Bible said. And I'm going to move. But here's what the Bible said. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not each other tonight. You may think you're my enemy, but you're really not. You're just a messenger from Satan. You're just, boy, it got quiet right then, didn't it? You're just like Eve. You are lending your body to Satan and allowing Satan to use you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He goes on to talk about, can I just say it this way? He goes on to talk about demons. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Our fight is not necessarily a fleshly or a physical fight, but it is a spiritual battle today. And if you don't think that we are in spiritual warfare, man, you're not right with God, because I'm telling you. You start living for God and every demon in hell will come after you. A lot of times we say Satan's on our back. There's very few in the Bible that you see actually Satan himself being on. Very few. If Satan's on Brother DC's back right now, he ain't on nobody else's back, because Satan's not omnipresent. There ain't but one that's omnipresent, and that's God. He's everywhere at the same time he's everywhere. Satan cannot be but at one place at a time. Are you with me? Everybody all right? But you know what he done? He took a multitude out of heaven with him. Whenever he rebelled against God, God created hell for the devil and his angels. So truthfully, what we battle 99.999999% of the time, it's just one of the little demons of hell. Are you with me tonight? And I'm going to tell you something tonight. They will come against us. Rebecca and I was talking last night, and we was talking about a spiritual battle. About a spirit. Remember, David Edwards was talking about the spiritual battle that's there today. And you better prepare yourself. There's the fight as the church. Has to do, well, what do we fight against? It has to do with modernism. Well, let me say that again. Maybe somebody say amen. It has to do with modernism. We stand against all who deny the holy word of God and what he is. That, you say, well, you know, they're a church. There's a lot of things that say that they're church. Has to do with morality. We are to tell what sin is and what sin will do. Are you with me? We're to stand against that. We're to stand against that. Has to do with merging. Stand against the move that unites all religions into one. We're not all the same. I am not the same, man. I believe in the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I'm not for it. Amen. we're to stand against. And I want to tell you something, Miss Tanya, come start playing softly, please. I'm for standing up for what's right. I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. Rules and regulations without relationship, I promise you the child of that will always be rebellion. You say, well, I didn't compromise nothing. You know, that person that's always pointing, saying they're compromisers. They might be trying to hide something that they're doing because they're truly a compromiser. These people, it's hypercritical all the time. I'm just going to tell you something, man. I fail God every day. I miss the mark every day. Thank God for grace today. Amen. Thank God he's long-suffering. But I'm going to tell you something. Rules and regulations without relationships will always equal rebellion. We give them rules, we give them regulations, but we give them to them through the Word of God, and we love their soul in spite of their sin. We love their soul in spite of their sin. There are some people today that their number is in my phone. And I could call them right now, and there's not a doubt in my mind they would drop what they was doing and they would come help me. And can I tell you something? They live as far of a different lifestyle than me. They're wicked. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would you ever talk to them? Rules and regulations without relationships equals rebellion. They've got to know we love them. They've got to know we care about them. They've got to know that we care about their soul and where they're... Boy, somebody help the preacher tonight and where they're going to spend eternity. No, I'm not going to go sit down and eat a meal with them, and I'm not going to go on vacation with them, and I'm not going to go hang out with them. But you know what? When I walk up, they need to know that there's a man of God. They need to know what he stands for, but they also need to know that he's got a heart of compassion, making the difference. That's where it comes from. So what is the church tonight? What is our operation? Well, our foundation is the Word of God. Our function is to get people to Jesus. And our fight is against this world. It's not against each other. The church tonight. Can I say this? I'm for the church. I'm for the church. So, preacher, I just don't know if I'm for the church or not. You're not scriptural then. You know what Jesus died for? The church. Amen. That's who he died for. Can I just say this? I got saved at church. July the 20th, 1994. I understand that not everybody gets saved at church, and you don't have to get saved at church, but I was at church when I got saved. I was at church when I got under conviction. Amen. I was listening to the preaching of God's Word and fell underneath conviction at church. You know what he used to get me under conviction? Preaching. Preaching, preaching, preaching. Let me tell you the reason why. That's scriptural. He chose by the foolishness of preaching. Brother Joe Arthur was preaching the Word of God. Still preaching the Word of God today. One of my heroes. He's preaching the Word of God. Boy, I got underneath conviction. I got saved at the church. You know what happened 2 years later? Dr. Scott Caudill was preaching. And I surrendered to preach at the church house. Amen. You know what happened a few years later? I was standing at the church house, Miss Johanna, after camp meeting, and there was this brunette walked by, and I told the guy standing beside of me, I said, that's my wife right there. He said, you're an idiot. The day she started down the aisle, I looked over at him, and I said, I told you so. I met my wife at the church house. Don't nobody get mad at me, but I got married at the church house. Amen. I love the church. You know where I take my family to every week? The church house. There's just something about the church. Oh, yes. There's just something about the church. Thank God for the church tonight. Thank God for the church tonight. Now, take it a step further. I'm going to say this and I'm done. But I thank God for the man of God that was at the church house. Yeah, he was my daddy. But I sure am thankful. There was a preacher that stood up unapologetic and preached a divine, thus saith the Lord, in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and God put me underneath conviction. Thank God for the church, and thank God for the preacher at the church house.